This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 66, How to Be a Photographer's Assistant. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 66th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Parc Lafontaine, Lafontaine Park, in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about how to become a photographer's assistant, and this topic was put forth in our bulletin board by new bulletin board member Ray. And before we get into the podcast, I'd like to thank people, as always, for their comments on our last podcast, number 65, where we did an interview with fellow photographer Dominic Fizzotto on correcting color casts in photos. Kat, Ed Bayani, Jay Label, and Susan left comments. As always, we love to get comments, and the favorite way is through the blog directly, photography.ca/blog. That's the preferred way to leave a comment on the podcast, but of course, you can also do so in our photography forum. Just make your way to the forums on photography.ca or send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. So let's get right into Ray's question, and I'm going to read it now. How about a podcast on the best way to get a position as a photographer's assistant? And originally I replied like this, hey there, Ray, interesting topic. I think we could answer this for you in a thread, though, on the bulletin board. First, you have to figure out what kind of photography you want to do, and then we can help guide you. So at first I thought we would answer Ray's question in a thread, and then I decided, you know what, it is an important topic, and a lot of people, newbies and advanced amateurs, they want to get more serious about their photography, and being an assistant is a great way to go, so I thought we'd do a full-on podcast. So I asked him what type of photography he wants to get into, because photographers specialize, of course, and he answered back, well, I'm not 100% sure what I would like to specialize in, but I think assisting for a talented wedding photographer would be a good place to start. They shoot in a wide variety of situations, they set up lights and shoot formal portraits, and they also shoot available light with a more journalistic style. The constant change in location would be good experience, and it would also be good to see how the business works. If I ended up wanting to do something that did not relate directly to wedding photography, I think this kind of experience would still be beneficial. I know there are types of photography that do not relate at all, like product, food, and landscape, but I'm not thinking about going in any of those directions. I've responded to many ads, and I've had no luck. Maybe a paid apprenticeship would be a better way to go? Okay, so let's just get right into this right away, and I actually have some experience at this. 100 years ago, I was, indeed, a wedding photographer's assistant, and that's how I got some practical experience way back. So first off, you know, I think you're right, Ray. Being an assistant has a lot of advantages. You know, first off, you know, you learn how a pro works. There's all kinds of things you can learn on the net, and there's all kinds of things you can learn with self-study, but when you watch how a pro works, you can really get some insight on real-world photography, you know, where you actually get paid, where there is a significant risk in getting a good or a bad photo. So you really get to see how other photographers work, and that's great. They'll also provide you with hints and tips. You may have been metering in one way, and this photographer meters in a different way, or lighting subjects in a certain way, and this photographer has a new way. So you really get to learn lighting and tips, and how other photographers shoot, which is invaluable. You also get to find out what pressure is like. And when we're shooting for ourselves, we don't feel pressure. But when we shoot for money or we shoot for a job, especially at the beginning when we may be nervous, there is all kinds of pressure. So assisting a wedding photographer gets you used to the pressure, because the photographer may feel the pressure and he may, you know, relay some of that pressure to you, and you get to feel what pressure is like, which is a good thing. And at the end of it all, you may realize that it's not for you, but, you know, it's the real world experience that you're looking for, and that's what you're going to get. And finally, another advantage is that you get to make contacts. I mean, these days, it's all about contacts. It's who you know, it's who knows you, and those contacts can serve you well in the future. So that photographer may know some other people that may need wedding photographers. You may meet event planners at weddings that may like your style or that you can approach, you know, after the shoot to find out what things are like. And these contacts definitely have added value. So now, how do you actually get to being that assistant, from thinking about it to actually being there? And at the end of the day, one of my best pieces of advice is going to be networking. So camera clubs. You know, most larger cities or even medium-sized cities have camera clubs. Join those clubs. You know, introduce yourself. Make friends with people. Bring some photos that you have. Find out what people are doing. Find out who they know. Ask them for advice as well, because they may be in the zone that you want to photograph in. You know, if you're not interested in food photography, like you mentioned, no problem. There may be a lot of other photographers there at these camera clubs, and they're going to be great resources. And it's not just camera clubs as well. There's like meeting places, there's walking tours, there's all kinds of ways to meet fellow photographers. In my opinion, you want to meet people face to face. Cold calling sucks. I get tons of cold calls all the time. Hey, Marco, do you need this? Do you need that? It's disturbing, you know. It, for me, it's almost like spam. You know, I'm not looking forward to a call. I'm busy. I'm working. I get a call. It's cold. You know, I have no introduction. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're coming from. So cold calling sucks as far as I'm concerned. You want to meet real life people. So again, find out what events are going on in your area. Do some Google searches. Find out where the meeting places are in your area. Go local. You know, if you want to take a drive to another city, maybe a larger city, and they have things going on in that city, well, that's also a worthwhile investment of time, especially at the beginning. You just have to meet as many people as possible. And then if you're persistent and you're good and you're professional, chances are someone will take a chance on you. Another good thing to do is get a guide. So especially in terms of wedding photography, there are wedding guides that cover most big cities. I'm from Montreal, Quebec, and one of the big guides here in Montreal is the Let's Get Married guide. Now, that guide lists all the well-known wedding photographers in Montreal. It lists all the well-known wedding event planners. It lists all the well-known bands. It lists all the well-known caterers. So these are people that are already in the wedding industry. So even if you don't necessarily know certain wedding photographers, you may know someone else that's related to it. Either way, you now have a guide that's up to date, that has lists of working professionals, and likely those professionals may need an assistant from time to time. So that guide would be invaluable, and I suggest you get one. Now again, you don't necessarily want to cold call these people. Often they have email addresses in their advertisements, and you may want to send them a friendly email. This has the added advantage that you're not bothering the photographer when he or she doesn't want to be bothered. You can send them a friendly email. Short and sweet is always best. If they respond, they may respond with a request for you to send some images. I wouldn't necessarily send images right away because, again, they didn't ask you to email them. You're just trying your hand at a friendly contact. So I'm not sure I would necessarily send pictures to begin with, but certainly if they ask you, send your best images. Get opinions on those images if you're not sure that they're good. So post them to, you know, forums like ours or other forums, get opinions on them. And that way, if they do ask you for some shots, you can send them stuff that is quality. Finally, you can also hit some wedding assistant sites, and there are local wedding assistant sites, and then there are like wedding portal assistant sites that may cover, you know, Canada or the US or another country. You want to list yourself in those sites too, because especially the larger sites, and it's up to you to figure out what sites they are. I'm going to try and put a few links in the show notes, but Google is your friend. So search for those local sites where wedding assistants are listing themselves, and that way when wedding photographers are looking for assistance, they may go to one of those sites and find you, and again, your odds are improved that way. Now here's another suggestion. You want to be prepared. The learning of the photography, that's up to you. So I would highly recommend taking some courses. If you're a self-starter and you want to just learn by yourself, that's cool. There is definitely added value in taking a course somewhere. You know, many years ago, I actually did a 2.5-year degree in photography, and that, of course, acquainted me with the basics. So when I was ready to go out to look for some jobs, I had some experience already. I knew how to take a picture. I knew about exposure, composition, printing. I knew a little bit about Photoshop. You don't want to go in there totally raw. You want to know some stuff to begin with. So if you don't know anything about photography, don't expect wedding photographer to want to hire you. Wedding photographer is already going to expect you to know the basics. Of course, this means being familiar with digital SLR camera, which I recommend. Most wedding pros are digital, so definitely knowing how to shoot digitally is important. But you want to also have some familiarity with film cameras. I think that would be an added bonus as well. After you know a little bit about photography, it definitely helps to have a portfolio. So you want to have a hard portfolio, which means prints that you can show people. You want to have a virtual portfolio, which means scanned prints that you can send people. And it really wouldn't hurt these days to have a portable device where you could show people some of your best images on the fly if they ask to see it. You know, iPhones, Blackberries, you can store photos on a lot of these phones. And the newer phones, the quality is actually amazing. So it certainly can't hurt to have, you know, 5 or 10 of your best shots in the domain that you're looking at. If you're a wedding photographer, you want to have some wedding shots or portraits, formal portraits. It wouldn't hurt for you to have that stuff handy at all times. I should probably take my own advice and load some of my own images into a phone, and it's likely something I'll do in the future, but definitely if you're looking for work, you never know when an opportunity will arise, so having something concrete to show someone immediately is a good thing to do. Now, will a wedding photographer then want to take a chance on you? I'll tell you this, and this is kind of a hotly debated topic, whether or not you want to work for free for a few gigs. So your first question asked about a paid apprenticeship. Maybe if it was Annie Leibovitz or someone exceptionally well-known, a name-dropping photographer, then maybe I would pay, actually, to apprentice with them and learn their craft from at the feet of a master. But aside from that, I don't think I would pay for an apprenticeship. What I might do is I might work for free for a few gigs, maybe 1 to 3 gigs. And that way the photographer who's working with me gets the added bonus of not having to pay me, and they get to see how I work. So it's a really low risk for them. This, of course, is a hotly debated topic. I've worked for free in the past. I've schlepped really heavy, heavy bags in the past, and that's part of what you end up doing. But if you want to get in, you have to make some sacrifices at the beginning. So working, I would say, 1 to 3 gigs might not necessarily be a bad deal. You might want to make that arrangement going in, saying, look, you know, I'll work with you 1 to 3 gigs, but then the 4th and 5th gigs, I would expect to be paid. How much do you pay, etc.? And then everyone is on the same page and you can work comfortably with one another. But I totally think that working a couple of gigs for free is absolutely acceptable, even though it goes against the principles of many workers and many photographers and many assistants. But you got to do what you got to do. And if you don't take a risk and you don't get out there, you're never going to progress anyway. So I think it's a good idea. Now, if you do get the job, one of the most important things is you have to be on time. Wherever the photographer tells you to show up 15 minutes earlier. Just do it. Don't get there late. If you went out the night before and you partied, whatever, that's your business. Make sure you get up early anyway, and make sure you get there early. Very few things piss a photographer off more than waiting for an assistant. Really, I mean, there's a lot of time and money and pressure that goes into a photography event, be it a wedding or any other kind of event. And if you're late, that just makes the photographer nervous, and that's going to piss him off. It would piss me off. I know photographers that it's also bothered them, so I highly recommend that you never ever be late. Dress appropriately. You may want to ask the photographer how he or she wants you to be dressed and dress accordingly. But if it's not mentioned, more formal is better than grunge. You know, dress appropriately. And you know what? Even if you're working for free, dress appropriately. Don't get on your high horse and say, oh, well, you know, they're not paying me, so I don't have to dress, you know, in a suit. No. You get yourself a suit if it's a formal gig, because you don't want to stand out. You want to blend in. And if you're poorly dressed, you will stand out. And I got to say, I think that's it from my end. If anyone else has a lot of experience in this, or even some experience in this, as always, you can add your comment to the blog post in the forum or by sending an email. It would be greatly appreciated. Okay, then, before we end, I'd also like to talk about our bulletin board theme. Every month, we have an assignment where bulletin board members can create some photos based on a theme. And this month, the theme is nostalgia. We already have some really cool uploads, and people are uploading interesting images, very creative images. So I do recommend, if you are lurking on our forum but you haven't joined yet, now might be a good time. We're a friendly bunch, and you can play along by photographing something nostalgic and uploading it into the assignment forum. Thread, of course, to go in the show notes. We could also use some more participation in voting on our member images. Every month, we choose a bunch of photos that we think are the best of the month, and there are 5 images that need voting upon. Thread to go in the show notes. So if you want to cast your vote for one of the 5 images, that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much, everyone. That's going to do it for me today. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. And as always, just get out there. There's no excuse now. It's summer. Most areas in the world are summer's approaching quickly. It's warm. It's hot. Flowers are blooming. Grass is growing. Dogs and cats are out there. So, you know, just get out there. Bring your camera wherever you go. And as always, keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.